Today, friends, we again come to you, and we're continuing our studies in the Paul's letter to the Colossian church. And we rejoice again in the marvelous way the Lord has revealed himself in and through his word. In our last lesson, we were dealing with his work for us. You remember, those of you who are following through in the Bible study, we've had in the first few verses from 15 to 19 of chapter 1, the revelation of the person of our Savior, who is the image of the invisible God, and by him were all things created. And we had that in verse 16 and 17. Who he is, his relationship to creation, and then his relationship to the church. He was made head over all things to the church, which is his body, as Ephesians chapter 1 declares. Now from verses 20 to 29, we have the Lord's work. First of all, his work for us, and then we have his work in us. Now in verses 20 to 23, we were discussing his work for us, and he was taking up this question of reconciliation. You remember at the cross, God did nothing in man, but he certainly did something for man. He reconciled man to God, as we have it here in verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, or in earth, or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Let me just stop right here on these verses from 20 to 23. And we were discussing this in our last lesson, and that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, especially verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath given to us the word of reconciliation. And reconciliation really is God making peace for man. You remember at the cross, Jesus Christ did a work with respect to sin. He redeemed us out of all iniquity. Concerning man, God made peace for him. Concerning the character and person of God, we have the great word propitiation. In other words, Jesus Christ perfectly satisfied the righteous, holy character of God. If I were teaching Romans 3:21 to 31, we read that he vindicated the righteousness of God, and he made peace for us through the blood of his cross. Now the ground for it is the blood of Christ. Verse 20. He made peace through the blood of the cross. I'm repeating what I said in our last lesson. I want to make this thing very, very clear to you. It was not by any works of man. This was an act once for all, forever. God did something for man. He made peace for man. As I've oftentimes said, we cannot make peace with God. He has made peace for us. He wants us to accept the peace that he has made. This is a wonderful thing to me, that any sinner, I don't care who they are, they will bow and mean business with God and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, putting their trust in him, they pass from death to life. They experience reconciliation. You remember in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's when we were reconciled, when we were enemies. Same thing here in chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. This is the ground for it. The work of Jesus Christ once for all, forever. Now the scope of it. In verse 20, you have the heavens, Likewise, in Hebrews 9:23, you have the earth, the very ground upon which we walk. It's going to be delivered from the curse on the ground of what Christ did on the cross. Jews and Gentiles are reconciled. In fact, the only place where you find Jew and Gentile perfectly reconciled, enjoying peace and fellowship together, is in Christ. You find that, you remember, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. He not only preached peace, but he made peace. He joined us together, Jews and Gentiles. And then you have, and you believers, who at one time were alienated and enemies in your mind, hath he now reconciled in the body of his flesh. What for? To present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Marvelous thing. Through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he's going to take folk like you and me who put their trust in the Savior, and he's going to present us holy, H-O-L-Y. That is, we're going to stand before God, sanctified, fitted for his presence. You remember Ephesians 1:6 declares we are accepted in the Beloved. In Jude verse 24, I read, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy." The same thing you remember in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John 4:17, it says, "We have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." My, what a marvelous truth. That when you and I accepted the Savior, the work of Christ was sufficient to take you and me, and he's able to present us before the Father holy, without blame. Just think of it. Unreprovable. That as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus Christ has been made unto us righteousness, sanctification, redemption. So that Paul can write, he's going to present us holy before God. And then he's going to present us unblameable, that is, without blemish, without any defects. Sir, do you mean that? Why, of course I mean that. It's what the Bible teaches. How else can you stand before God? Indeed, what can you do? You're born in sin. You will to sin. Your life is one of failure before God. So what does God do? God does the whole business. He sent his Son. He bore every one of your sins. And he reconciled you to God. He made peace for you. No barriers between. As I have oftentimes said, what man could not do in 4,000 years of history, Jesus Christ did in one act on the cross 1,900 years ago. And God accepted that work and proved it by raising him from the dead. So that we stand before God, not only holy as saints, holy ones, but also unblameable, without a blemish, without defects. You remember Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. If you take the preceding verse, verse 26, that he might cleanse the church by the washing of water, by the word, that he may present you to himself a holy church, having neither spot nor wrinkle, nor any such thing. My, what a marvelous thing. What a marvelous thing. No wonder Paul could revel in the fact that Jesus Christ has been made unto us righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Again, I quote that verse of 1 Corinthians 1:30. Standing before God in all the beauty and all the wonder of Christ. And the third thing, not only holy, not only without blemish and without blame, but unreprovable. What do you mean by that? There's no ground for accusation. All sins have been gone. He's no longer our judge. He's our Father. He's our Savior. He's our God. Do you remember Jeremiah 31, 34? And you remember it's repeated again in Hebrews chapters 8 and chapter 10, where we read of the fact that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. Or in the book of Micah, chapter 7, the 19th verse, he's cast our sins in the depths of the sea. I suggest you think sometime in verses 18 and 19 of the little prophet Micah, chapter 7. Or the 103rd Psalm, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And one could take certain scriptures, for example, we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He has forgiven us for Christ's sake. He has forgiven us for his name's sake. My, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. That when a man or a woman comes and puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives them a divine pardon and a forgiveness that's eternal. And no one, I say this reverently, I say it firmly, that when every believer stands in the presence of God, no one can produce any evidence of our sins. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. Now listen to what the verse says. He's going to take us, and because of his death at the cross, he's going to present you holy, unblameable, without blemish, with no defects, unreprovable, there's absolutely no ground of accusation. Now, someone's going to raise an issue here. But what about believers? Christians sin. That's right. But now it's a family matter. You see, in Colossians, he's dealing with what God has done for us. Now, when it comes to the question of daily fellowship with the Lord as his children, then we'll go to the Epistle of John, where he deals with that question. For example, it says in chapter 1, verse 9, if anyone sin, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's talking to his children now. Question of fellowship with God who is holy. And the second chapter of 1 John goes on, these things write we unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Now it might be well for me to suggest this, and I'm going to take the time to digress for a moment. There are so many Christians who know quite a bit about what Christ did for them at the cross. And they look forward to the coming of the Lord when he's going to perfect that which he has started, when every believer in Christ will stand before God transformed and made like the Son of God. For God has determined that we shall be conformed to the image of his Son. But so many Christians do not know very much about Christ's present ministry. Remember, he has three works to do. One work he has finished. At the cross he cried out, "It is finished." Or in John 17, "I have finished the work you gave me to do." He's doing a present ministry in heaven. The book of Hebrews takes that up. He's my high priest. He's my intercessor. He's my representative. He's my advocate. He's my forerunner, so on. Then he's going to come to do a third work. He's going to come to reign on the earth over the nations as Lord of lords and King of kings. He's going to come, first of all, as a judge. He's going to judge the nations, and then he's going to rule for 1,000 years, a reign of righteousness. So our Lord has three works to do, but don't get them mixed up. Too often believers fail to realize that the Lord Jesus at the cross did a perfect work, and he's doing a perfect work today. And he's yet to do a further work. And God is not going to be satisfied with you or me until we stand in his presence conformed to the image of his Son. But we're dealing here in Colossians chapter 1 with what he did for us at the cross. Allow me to repeat the statement I made a moment ago. At the cross, God did nothing in me. He did something for me. Now, as a Christian, the Spirit of God does something in me and does something through me. But the standing we have before God is entirely on the ground of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. Listen, friend, It's not Christ plus you. It's not Christ plus me. It isn't that Christ did 95% of the work and left 5% for you and me to do. If he had, none of us would ever arrive in the presence of God acceptable. What happened? He did 100% work. He made peace for us. And now unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. Now the question of fellowship, that's a different proposition. This is a daily proposition. You and I ought to walk in fellowship with the Lord day by day. If our fellowship is broken because of sin, then we confess our sins, and forgiveness and cleansing is on the ground of confession, not for the world, but for his people, for his children. The sinner has to come to the cross and accept a Savior, becomes a member of the family of God. Then his daily walk with God is governed by his walking in obedience to the Word of God. When he fails to do that, his fellowship with the Lord is broken. That fellowship is restored on the ground of confession. He forgives and cleanses. I hope I've made myself very clear to you in this connection. So in verse 22, he's going to present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Now someone's going to say, but wait a minute. Verse 23 says something else. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Now, I'm not reconciled to God if I continue in the faith. I'm not going to be presented holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight if I hang on, if I continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Please, please get this thing very clear in your mind. The work of Christ alone fits us for the presence of God. And if I were to take this word, and I think I've got good ground for it from the original text, in verse 23, it's not so much that to present you holy, unblameable, and reprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, but seeing you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is unto heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You see, he is able to keep us from falling. He, our forerunner, has gone into the presence of God. And we had in Ephesians chapter 5, 26 and 27, that he might cleanse the church, that he might cleanse the church by the washing of water by the word, that he may present you to himself a holy church, having neither spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. In other words, the continuing in the faith is the witness, the proof that we've accepted the reconciliation which he made for us. And I repeat it, we are not reconciled on the ground of what we have done or what we can do. Allow me again to repeat those two scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing unto them, not charging unto them their trespasses. And he's given to us the word of reconciliation. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What life? His present ministry in heaven. His life on earth doesn't save us. It's his work on the cross that satisfied God for us. But now he has us on his heart. He's our high priest. He's our advocate. He's our forerunner. He's our representative, our intercessor. So you find this marvelous thing, the evidence of this reconciliation being true in the hearts of believers is because we continue grounded and settled in the faith, and we're not moved away from the gospel. Now this leads me to say one more thing. You and I as Christians have a tremendous responsibility. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, I read, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You and I, Christian friend, have a tremendous responsibility. God has committed unto you and me the ministry and the word of reconciliation. And we are to beseech men in behalf of Christ that they be reconciled to God, that they accept the reconciliation which God has made for them. That's a tremendous responsibility. He hasn't given this to angelic beings, neither to Michael nor to Gabriel or to any of the other heavenly host. He's given you and me this amazing honor and privilege of representing the Lord Jesus Christ, of being ambassadors for Christ, beseeching men to accept the provision God has made for them. This is our job, then, is to witness to the world that the Lord Jesus has already made peace for them. Will they not accept that with which God is perfectly satisfied? And if God is satisfied with the work of His Son, shouldn't you be satisfied? God is perfectly satisfied. And thank God I'm satisfied. Are you? How do you prove it? By putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then as His children, walk in simple obedience to Him. Now may the Lord wonderfully bless you and use you today for His own eternal glory.